Well, if you have your Bible this morning, would you please join me in the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And I'll just mention this while you're turning. On the website, there is a link to give, as I usually just do that on Sunday mornings. And so it's a secured link, but if you'd like to give to Pastor David or any of those we support, we just encourage you to go there. I would encourage you to set up your own account. You just put your email in, come up with your own password, and that way you get an email confirmation as soon as you send that. But at the end of the year, if you want a record of your giving, you can print that off as well, or we can do that for you. So anyway, let me join you, Romans chapter 15, and we'll make our confession together here if you're ready. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christmas season is often associated with hope. Some of the Christmas carols we sing have words that express hope. Christmas cards. Some of you get Christmas cards and you'll find hope written in the Christmas cards. Even some of the movies. I got to thinking about that. Some of you may have seen the movie Home Alone. And remember when Kevin's mom was trying to get a flight back to be with her son, but it was Christmas Eve and all the flights were booked up. But she didn't want to take no for an answer. She said, "This is Christmas, the season of perpetual hope." As I was thinking about that, and thank God for hope, it would be terrible to feel like we really could not live with hope and not have hope. And yet, I'm sure that many of us, maybe all of us, have had thoughts and even experienced emotions of hopelessness in this time of year and at any time of year. And so this morning, I'd like to ask this question: is abiding hope even possible? Is lasting hope possible? And if you found Romans chapter 15, would you look at verse 13 with me? Romans 15, 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope." I love that phrase. "That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I want to ask you to read this verse out loud with me. And I want to encourage you, if you don't already have a scripture you're meditating on maybe this day or this week, would you use this one? I think this is going to be a great one. And just think about it every day. Put a little thought into it. Write it down. Try to memorize it. But would you read it with me, verse 13? "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And then let me give you another one. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you just want to write it down. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." In other words, where Jesus said, you must be born again. He's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Thank God we can live in hope if we believe in Jesus as our sinless, crucified, and risen Lord. He's the God of all hope, and through the resurrection of Jesus, we can have a living hope. So yes, we can have an abiding hope as long as we understand what the scriptural definition of hope is and what it's based on. So I want to share four reasons to put our hope in the Lord today, but let me give you this definition first, because this is a scriptural definition of the word hope. sometimes we use the word hope and it's more of just like a wishful thinking. And that's fine, that's not evil, but Scripture gives it a more definite purpose. And here's the definition according to Scripture. It's a confident expectation of good. A confident expectation of good. So when the Bible says he's the God of all hope, and we can abound in hope, and we have a living hope, it's a confident expectation of something that is good. Hope. Now, I will say this. Hope must be based on what is sure or steadfast and unchanging, or it can't last. So what does Scripture tell us to put our hope in? I want to ask you, just you stay right there in Romans 15. I'm going to come back to it. But I want to read you a few verses from a book in the Bible that is actually a funeral poem. It's called the Book of Lamentations. And it's right after Jeremiah. And I would like to read this to you because this song was written by an eyewitness of the devastation that took place years ago under Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He came in and just completely destroyed the city and defeated the people. And if you think about just over a year ago, October 7th, there in Israel, October 7th, 2023, what happened at this time of history, it would be similar, but on a greater scale, a far greater scale. The city was completely overrun. It was captured. God's temple was broken down, burned. The goods in it were taken off to another country. And people were either murdered. I mean, just ladies, you know what was probably done. Even the little children or taken hostage to not just across a border, hundreds of miles away. So that this book came out of that experience. And this is what it says in Lamentations chapter 3. I'll just ask to put it on the screen, beginning in verse 17. It says, "You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord." That's how this man felt. He felt like everything was gone. All the good that I remember is gone forever. Verse 19, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall." And wormwood was bitter. He said, when I call to mind all that took place, my memory, it is bitter experience. It's like a bitter taste for me to even think about this tragedy and all that happened at that time. But then verse 21, there is a sharp contrast. In fact, I'm sorry, let me read verse 20. Verse 20 says, "My soul still remembers and sinks within me." It was disheartening. Then verse 21 is like a sharp contrast because he said, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." This man remembered something other than the bad experiences, and it gave him hope. What was it? Four reasons, I believe, and certainly these aren't the only ones, but here are four reasons to put our hope in the Lord. Number one, hope is based on God's character. Hope is based on God's character. And I want to continue reading right here in the book of Lamentations. That very next verse, he said, "I'm calling this to mind, and therefore I have hope." Because remember, he just said, "I feel like my hope is gone. It was such devastation. I can't even see anything around to offer hope, but I remembered something, and it caused me to hope." Here it is, Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 22. "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." So he remembered, hey, this is terrible. There's no denying it. It's a tragedy. But I remember there is a God who still reigns. There is a Lord. In fact, the title of the message this morning is, "I Hope in the Lord." That's what we can have a living hope, an abiding hope, and we can abound in hope if we will make the Lord our hope. I hope in the Lord. Would you say that with me? I hope in the Lord. So my confident expectation of good is in the Lord. And I began thinking about just some of the character qualities and virtues of the Lord. And I thought, well, he's compassionate. He's good. He's faithful. He's holy. He's just. He's love. He's merciful. He's true. He's wisdom. I mean, you could go through the alphabet and know this is our God. And it's because of who he is that I can have hope today. Thank God. Again, it doesn't mean we don't go through tough times. We don't face disappointments. I'm simply saying if we want an abiding hope, we can have it as long as we put our hope in the Lord first and foremost. Because God is unchanging. When you're perfect, you don't need to change. The scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the sum. He's the perfection of all virtue. And there is nothing more sure or certain than the Lord. So if we want a sure hope, we got to put it in him. I hope in the Lord. Because these next three, really, all Christian hope comes from and flows from, is in and flows through him, or from him. I'll say it that way. All Christian hope is in the Lord and flows from him. So our hope is in the Lord. Would you say, I hope in the Lord? Would you tell someone next to you, I hope in the Lord? So our hope is in God's character. And then secondly, right there in Romans chapter 15, would you drop back to verse 4? Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So not only do we put our hope, first of all, in God's character, but we can put our hope in God's word. That's why I said they both go together. God revealed his holy character to us in his word. Now, I believe that creation testifies, because the scripture says so, that there is a creator and there is a God. And even the fact that we are created in his image, there is something in us of a conscience that leads us to believe that there is not only something out there, but there is something that I need to either know about or have a relationship with. And I know I'm not 100% right. Look at all of the religions and how they try to deal with what we know is sin, what we know is evil and wrong. And if we didn't have God's word, we might know there's something out there somewhere, but we wouldn't know about his love for us, a self-sacrificing love that would send his son to a cross to die a horrible death, to experience the judgment and wrath of God for our sins. We would not know how to be forgiven. We would not know how to live our lives in this life so that we can experience abundant life that the Lord wants to have for us. Think about the promises that we can claim this morning in God's word. If we didn't have his word, we wouldn't be able to claim those promises or so many details about God's will for our lives. The Bible says that God's word is our life. It's living and powerful. It's life-giving. The psalmist said, strengthen me according to your word. God's word gives us strength. Thank God for his goodness and blessing. It gives us strength. This scripture here in Romans 15, 4 says it gives us patience or endurance and comfort. I can tell you, I have experienced that in times of seasons of my life over the years. When I was down or discouraged or hurting, I've opened God's word and it has brought comfort to my soul. It has brought strength to my emotions. It's brought calmness of mind and heart. It's given me a peace that I would not have without it. I thank God for his word. The Bible says God's word is settled in heaven and it remains. It is inspired by God's Holy Spirit. And there is a source of absolute truth. It's God's word. Whether people accept it or not is their choice, but there is a truth and it's available and it's found in the pages of this book we call the Bible. It's eternal, unchanging truth. Now, let me just share this with you. I really believe this is important. Related to hope before I give you these last two. Because sometimes some hopes are simply desires for someone to do something we want. We say, well, I hope she does that, or I hope he does that, and that's fine. Or maybe we have a hope that a situation is going to turn out a certain way. Well, I hope the Colts win today. Well, that's not an abiding hope, I can tell you. That's God bless them, but even then, the proverb says, I believe it's 13:20, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When what we desire or hope for is either delayed or denied, it's disheartening. And God understands that. But this is so important. That's why I said we've got to base our hope on God and his word, or it won't last. A proper understanding of God's word. Let me read you this in Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. And just while I'm going to read this, would you turn over just a few books to the book of Titus? If you get to Titus, you'll come to a few books that all have letters T. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Would you look at this in Titus chapter 2? And you just hold your spot there. Because after Jesus came back to life from the dead, he was walking along the road one day, and he met two disciples walking. And they were, this is what it says. Let me read it to you. It's Luke 24 and verse 17. Luke chapter 24, verse 17. And Jesus said to them, they didn't recognize him. It says, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? It was in their countenance. Jesus could see they're sad about something. What is it that has you guys down? And this is what it says in verse 21. First of all, they said, are you a stranger here? You don't know all that's going on? And Jesus said, what things? What's happened? And they told him about Jesus. They told Jesus about Jesus. And they said to him, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They were disappointed because their hope was based on a Messiah that they thought would be like King David and bring redemption. He would free Israel from oppression, from the Roman government and so forth. But see, they were disappointed because that really wasn't the main hope. The hope that Jesus wanted to give them was not just hope from a political oppressor or Roman oppressors. The hope that he gave was to redeem us from sin. And that's why his death was a necessity. He died and they thought our hope is gone. They didn't realize that he just brought them a greater hope. Man, I just believe this is so important and practical. See, if we don't base our hope on a proper understanding of God's word, then we're going to be disappointed. Even if we look and we say, well, this scripture says this. The scripture says a lot. That's why we got to really make sure of that it's a promise for us in Christ especially. Then this is what Jesus does in verse 25. Luke 24, 25. Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. See, we've got to take the overall message of scripture and bring it together. Verse 26, ought not the Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So when we have hope, and we might even have a scripture that we base it on, and thank God if we do, but if it doesn't come out the way we hope, the way we desire, then let me ask you this. Could it be that the Lord is directing us into a greater hope and a revelation of himself? They were disappointed because their hope did not take place the way they wanted. Instead, the Lord turned it around and gave them a greater hope. And it says three times in this chapter that something was opened. Their eyes were opened, the scripture was opened, and their understanding was opened. And they came to a greater revelation of Jesus because they didn't get the hope they first wanted. I hope that's encouraging to someone today, because if you feel like I was hoping for this and I was praying for this, I understand. I'm human. I am right there with you. But please don't give up on the Lord and don't give up on hope. I hope in the Lord and I hope in His word. Maybe I don't understand it all, but I believe if this hope didn't work out, I've got a greater hope coming and I'm going to get to know Him better. And that's all I really need anyway, is I need Him to see me through. Oh my goodness, I hope in the Lord. I hope in the Lord. I needed that yesterday. I said, man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I have hopes for others too. It's not just for me. I have hope for other people. I believe they're godly hopes and desires. But if it doesn't come in the season even that I want to just continue to trust God. He knows what He's doing, and His timing is always perfect. I hope in the Lord. Would you say that with me again? I hope in the Lord. So we hope in God's character. We hope in God's word. Number three, are you in Titus? Titus chapter 2. We hope in Christ's return. Titus chapter 2. So God's character, God's word, and Christ's return. This is what the scripture refers to as a blessed hope. We sang just a little while ago, one day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. One day the skies are going to light up with His glory. Thank God. This is what it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. See, grace will teach us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present age. And then verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is going to return and He's going to establish God's reign on earth in fullness. He will rescue us from all who oppress us and all who persecute us. He's gonna have the last say. And thank God, let's just keep trusting Him and let's keep doing His will until that time. Not only that, but when He returns, He's gonna reward us for faithful service now, and depending on our service and faithfulness right now, we're gonna get to rule and reign with Him as His administrators on this earth for 1,000 years. He taught that, Jesus did in Luke 19. He said, you've been faithful over this much, I want you to have rule over 10 cities. You've been faithful over this much, you rule over 5 cities. So it's important to be faithful now to keep our hope. Jesus is our blessed hope. You say, well, Brother Rocky, I really prayed and I believed for my loved one to be healed and they died. I lost all hope. Brothers and sisters, wait a minute. Even in physical death, we have a living hope. We can abound in hope. And this is what the scripture says. Let me just read it to you. If you want to just hang out right there, let me read it. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep. I love that phrase, for someone dying. See, we have to sometimes say they died, though, because we do fall asleep. Sometimes not meaning to. But that's what he was speaking about. Those who die physically is like they fell asleep. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Of course, we sorrow when a loved one passes. We miss them and we long for them and we look forward to that reunion. But God says, don't sorrow like you have no hope. This isn't the end. Do you see why it's so important that our trust is in the Lord and His word? This is what He tells us. Then He says in the next verse, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. If we know the Lord, we're going to be together with him forever anyway. We're only going to be separated for a little period of time. Sometimes I like to say, instead of saying goodbye, I like to say, see you later. And it's not right or wrong. But I just believe if I'm going to see the person, I'll say, see you later. But what if maybe I were to pass before I saw that person again? Well, if they're a Christian, I'm going to see them again. See you later. It just won't be here. It's going to be in glory. So, lasting, abiding hope, if we hope in God's character, in God's word, in Christ's return, and finally in Christ's likeness. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 4? That is the last two scriptures. 1 John chapter 4. A lasting, abiding hope. Christ's likeness. The Bible says this, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, that means loved ones, now. Would you say now? We are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, when we are born again, when God's Spirit enters our heart, draws us to Jesus, he begins that work of Christ's likeness in us. The Bible says God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, giving us the desire and the power to do God's will. But we're to work out what God works in. And it's a lifelong process. I will never arrive in this life, but I will arrive. Because I have the assurance, the hope in God's word that when I see him, can you imagine that? That when I see him, the one who, the perfection, the perfect, holy one, what he did for me on the cross, when I see him, his work was so good and so complete, I'm going to be just like him. I won't be him, but I'll be sinless without him. In fact, Jude writes it this way, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling away and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When I can stand before a holy God like I never sinned because of the blood of Jesus, I'm gonna tell you that's gonna be a reason to rejoice. But it's not just for that day. That's why it says in the next verse, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope, what hope? The hope of Christ's likeness, the hope that because of his purity, one day we're gonna be like him. And if everyone who has this hope in Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. See, if we know that the Lord is our hope and one day we're going to be just like him, it inspires us to keep our heart clean right now. Pure, even as he is pure. If you want to just write this last verse down, I'll close with this. It's found in the book of Hebrews. Again, I want to encourage you. I hope that you will focus on that scripture we opened with today, Romans 15, 4. And I can put it on the website if you want to check it out. But Hebrews chapter 10, this is what I want to ask you today. Do you have a specific hope in God's word that you desire today? Specific hope, whatever it is, I want to ask you to confess it. It's important. Confess it, believe it. Ultimately, our hope is in the Lord, his character, his word, Christ's return, and Christ's likeness. And this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Do you have a hope for a new beginning today? He's faithful. Do you have a hope today for a grace that you need to empower you to do his will? He's faithful. Confess your hope and hold fast to him. Do you need a comfort for a downcast soul? Do you need peace that goes beyond all understanding? Put your hope in him, his character, his claim, the promises of his word, and hold on. He's going to see you through. Hold fast to your confession without wavering because God is faithful. I hope in the Lord. And it's not just about us, because our hope in the Lord will be a light. I like how I said earlier that this season is often associated with hope. It's also associated with light. There's like the light of hope. And when we place our hope in the Lord and just without wavering, trust him, hold on to him, we will be a light of hope to others to do the same thing, to put their hope in him too. Isn't that ultimately what God wants? I hope in the Lord. This morning, I want to ask you, have you been disappointed maybe with a hope that was delayed or denied? Could it be that God wants to give you a greater hope and to bring you a greater revelation of himself? And whatever that is, I just want to encourage you. Don't give up hope. Don't just say, well, I'm not going to live with hope, and that way I'm not disappointed. Life will disappoint you. Just have a scriptural hope in God's character, his word, in Christ's return and Christ's likeness, and God is going to see us through, and that hope will sustain us even through the tough and difficult seasons. Can we close in prayer? I hope in the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you today for your goodness. I thank you for your character. I thank you that you are faithful. We can hope in you. And Lord, today I'm asking right now, maybe there's someone either here in person or someone online. Lord, there has been some disappointment. We've all been there. But even in this season, they just need to get their focus back to you on your truth and your character, who you are, what you say and what you do. Thank you that we have an anchor for our soul, Lord. And we give you worship and praise. I want to just ask before we stand, if you just stay in attitude of prayer this morning, is there anyone today who would just say, Brother Rocky, I've been battling a little bit of hopelessness even in this season. I've had some disappointments, and that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're human. But you just say, would you pray for me today? Is there anyone who would just lift your hand right there where you are and say, I just need prayer. Would you hold them up just for a moment? Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, you can put your hands down. I just see you. I thank God for you. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters, and Lord, I want to join with them. Lift them up to your throne of grace. Lord, it is discouraging. You know, you said it in your word. Help us, though, not to give up hope. Maybe we just need to change our hope. Make sure that our hope is what is sure. Lord, in you, in your word, in the fact that you are coming back and you're going to right every wrong, we'll get to be with you forever. And until that day, your grace is helping us grow more like you. So Lord, help us to trust you in that process. I want to pray that you would just encourage their hearts. Whatever the case may be, I pray that you would draw us all into a greater revelation of you. Draw us to yourself. Help us to get to know you better, and then help us to grow more like you, because that's ultimately your goal for us all anyway. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.